This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Well, this is episode 46.
Yeah. Together, 4 and 6 makes it 10.
That is true. You've done a bit of a Fibonacci there.
It's very similar to episode 28 in that way.
Yeah, and episode 37.
No, I don't see that.
Or episode 19. Or episode 10, in fact. It doesn't seem like a week since we've been here.
Well, it isn't.
I know. That was my little clever segue into an explanation of what we're doing this week.
Basically, because Simon refuses to record 2 hours later than we normally record, we can't do a Sunday supplement this week.
No.
So.
No, that's not true. It's because you're going to a wedding.
Well, no, I'm going to a wedding, and then because the wedding's in Guildford, where Ford Prefect isn't from, I can therefore go down to Eastbourne and do a gig at Oi Oi Comedy. Oi Oi! And then drive home that way and save not only myself some petrol, but also our environment, our world.
So we're doing midweeks this week, which means we decided on an arbitrary midweek paper, which was Wednesday.
Wednesday is the middle of the week, I would say.
I would disagree. It's the middle of the week, but it's not the middle of the week.
When is the middle of the week?
Well, it would be halfway through Thursday, wouldn't it?
Why?
Because it's 3.5, isn't it?
3.5?
Yeah, so... Wednesday is the middle of a 5-day...
No, Sunday's the first day of the week.
No, Sunday's the last day. Either way, the week is 7 days long, not five days.
Yeah, exactly.
Long.
So it's bang in the middle of Wednesday, whichever way you look at it. Boom.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's called the weekend for a reason.
I think instead of Sunday supplement, we should just have an episode of Contradiction.
Isn't that what we do anyway?
No, it's not.
For God's sake. It's not going to turn into a Monty Python sketch.
Oh, this parrot's dead.
Is this a cheese shop? No. Well, that's that sketch knackered then, isn't it? See, I've turned it into a Young Ones sketch now. So did you get a midweek paper?
I decided to get The Independent because I thought I'd win with it for this reason and this reason alone. On the front of The Independent, there is a massive banner. It says Malcolm Tucker on McBride Politics and the Art of Spin. So I've got a massive interview with Peter Capaldi, as in, you know, the... You know, Scottish-Italian little guy who isn't Armando Iannucci.
I was going to cut out and keep something about In the Loop, actually, but I didn't.
I didn't either, because I can't read the interview. Because in the first paragraph of the interview, it gives away an excellent joke.
Oh, in mine, they've got a whole extract that I didn't want to read. It's not right. Don't do it. I got the Times.
Okay, that's all right. That's quite... We're going to have quite an intellectual debate, then.
Well, there'll be some sort of debate.
The thing is, you see, you know, the only bit of this I read I really want to share with you because it's really funny.
Go on then.
But it gives away a tiny bit of the...
No, I'm not interested in. Read it to yourself in your head now. And then...
No, it's just one expression of Malcolm Tucker's.
Okay, go on then.
It's just lovely. He abruptly closes the phone conversation in the new movie with the expression, "F***ity bye."
See, that's really funny, but we'll have to beep the funny bit of it. So, should we f***ity move on?
I think we should.
I reckon we should rename this section f***ity, cut-ity, out and keep-ity.
F***ity snip.
There's going to be a lot of beeps in this episode.
In Independent, I've got hit and run. Voldemort rides again.
Right.
A 24-year-old who changed his name to Lord Voldemort after the Harry Potter villain has lived up to his diabolical moniker. The Peterborough Evening Telegraph reports that Lucifer Beelzebub Voldemort, previously known as Benjamin Burt of Rowan Avenue, Spalding, has been ordered to wear an electronic tag. Voldemort was charged with using threatening, abusive or insulting words or behaviour. According to his barrister, the Dark Lord struggles with alcoholism, but when sober is a polite young man. But the main one I wanted to cut out and keep, Dahl Empermanger, and this is, if Shakespeare were alive now, he would be a mobile phone novelist.
No, he wouldn't. He'd be very confused as to why his fingernails were so long, and what had happened to his hair.
I think if Shakespeare were alive now, he would still cut his fingernails, or at least get somebody to do that for him.
I was making a suggestion that if he was, it doesn't matter, if he was, he'd be a corpse if he was alive now.
Yeah, but your fingernails don't grow if you're a corpse.
No,
I know. Your skin shrinks.
I know.
It makes it look like they're growing.
I know.
You've ruined everything, son.
No, I was undermining the point that he wouldn't be writing for mobile phones. He'd be writing either really intensely plotted computer games, or he'd be writing Hollywood screenplays. Or plays. You know, he might be a playwright.
Well, the thing is, Shakespeare basically sat down and wrote stuff.
Did he?
Yeah, that's what he did. He might have stood up. I don't know him that well. He'd write something and just do maybe one or two drafts of it, and then it would get performed. And that was it. And he'd do the same the next month.
He'd do a podcast, wouldn't he?
He would do a podcast. It'd be boring as sin.
The argument is that he'd be writing for mobile phones.
No, this is all about how novels, mainly aged at 13 to 18-year-old girls, account for 70% of downloads on mobile phones in Japan. And it's a really good way of getting published in Japan. It's basically just do scrolls through comic books. And now they're starting to print the comic books which were on mobile phones, and they're turning into mega bestsellers.
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard of this, and I thought it was really quite cool.
Yeah, it's quite a nice idea.
The popular movement of this is huge, and it's having a massive impact.
You just said popular movement and massive impact in the same sentence, and you weren't talking about pooing.
Aww, I've all grown up.
I'm not sure I want to talk about my cut out and keep. And I'm going to articulate a reason as to why I don't want to talk about it. It's because I don't know enough about it to talk about it. And you're going to say something like, well, yeah, that's never stopped you before. But I think you know more about it than I do, so I thought I'd bring it up. This week, David Attenborough was talking about how the world's overcrowded.
Yeah.
And there's in the back of the Young Times, there's an article by Chloe Lambert all about it. And I'm not sure I know enough about it to condemn it as an idea, but it's just Malthusian ideas like that really make me very uncomfortable.
Well, Malthus was a chap, you see, who sort of said, hey, let's look around ourselves. He was, you know, back in the olden days. He sort of saw that there was a lot of poor people, and he saw the amount of available land that there was to agriculturalise, and he thought, there ain't going to be enough food for everybody if we carry on like this.
Yeah.
Because there's no way you can work this amount of land, and with the yields we're getting, sooner or later, the population is going to reach its limit, and then there's going to be mass starvation, and it'll have to go down again. And of course, he was right, and the population didn't grow at all. You know, Victorian age never happened. We never managed to live in massive cities or anything like that. Basically, the entire argument that you can get overpopulated is complete bollocks, because you just don't know what the technology is going to be like.
Mm.
Ultimately, one man alone in Antarctica is overpopulation because he can't grow enough food for himself.
Yeah.
But the thing is, nowadays, thanks to Norman Spurlock and all of these amazing scientists who've managed to increase the technology of fields and basically agriculture, means we can feed loads of people. Thanks to, you know, Chadwick and, you know, sewer systems. I mean, sewers, without sewers, we'd all be Well, we wouldn't. We'd just be cholera'd. But, you know, it's basically that's what allows us to live in very densely populated areas. And to sort of say, you can't have all these people making people. I mean, that's just completely wrong.
In my head, it leads to eugenics. And I know that's a very simplistic notion of it.
Well, in reality, China's one child policy is an absolute idiocy. Waiting to happen. I mean, it already is. I mean, not only is it horrific, the fact that you have to get a license in order to have a child and then have forced abortions and all the rest of the horror stories that go around, and also the complete unbalanced population, because nobody wants girls because girls are smelly. It's just completely stupid, because back in the 1980s when they did it, we couldn't have huge yields that we can now. And also the fact that we should somehow impose rules on this. Like, it isn't easy to already curb a population growth. And it's very easy. All you have to do is educate women.
Yeah,
all you
and emancipate have to do.
Yeah, emancipate, educate women.
Give them control over their birth control.
Exactly, and you won't get as many kids. The end. Every 5 minutes, there's an idiot scientist going, there's no way we can cope. And they're right. If technology stayed the same and population increased without any changing happening at all, then they're right. However, that's never happened, because the more people you have, the more brains you have, and the more people there are, the more happiness there is. So get over it, David, yeah? Silly Attenborough, stick to the squirrels and the lions and the little... I just like it. I'd like him too much to be nasty to him, even though he did say on Jonathan Ross that there were yetis. Oh.
Time Sometimes play a midweek version of Article or Farcical then.
Right, in Article or Farcical, I will read out four article titles and then Simon has to guess which one I've made up, because I have made up one. Only three are from this Wednesday's Independent, and most of them are actually from the Independent Supplement of Life.
Is that like the University of Life, but it's just a supplement of life? Next to the supplement of Hard Knocks?
No. Right. Anyone got a good recipe for snails?
Right.
Squirrels got wood. Hollywood's latest nuttiest detox diet.
Is that something to do with the squirrel in his wood?
Unfortunately, it's not to do with the squirrel in his wood. This is celebrities eating coconut in order to lose weight. And then, last but not least, shame in a bun.
Shame in a bun. Would you like to tell me what that's about?
Jason Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
How he conveyed such a sense of shame in Seinfeld was because he knew he'd been in this song and dance ad for the McDonald's now defunct McDLT burger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it's about. And
a McDLT?
Yeah.
Now, a DLT, isn't that Dave Lee Travis?
Yeah.
So you mean a BLT, surely?
No, DLT. And McDonald's has become more imaginative with the sandwiches since. The shame in a bun is about that.
If you say so.
Is there a way of being more vague in order to flummox you?
Well, is you saying that you're deliberately flummoxing me a deliberate misdirect?
Maybe I am just like a speaking teller. I am. Misdirections, yeah. I'm smoking a cigarette, but I'm not, am I?
How do you do that thing with the rose?
I'm not telling you.
Okay. So we got snails, squirrels, a nutty detox, and shame in a bun. Sounds like quite a nice meal.
It does.
Well, I mean, my first instinct is that you absolutely made up shame in a bun as you were going along. Without much
thought. I was not making it up. I was reading it as I was going along. And there's a picture of Jason Alexander with his very big bald head. He's George Costanza.
Is he wearing glasses or not wearing glasses?
He is not wearing glasses.
Yeah, see, if you just said he was wearing glasses, I might have thought you were making that up now.
But he's not wearing glasses and he's wearing a checkered shirt.
And why is he in the paper?
He is in for that reason I told you about with the McDonald's McDLT burger.
He isn't plugging a movie or anything like that.
Oh, no. It's just a little article called Shame in a Bun and they've got a picture of him. And he's not looking out, he's looking over his shoulder as though he was looking at Jerry Seinfeld. But I don't think on the
what,
set.
In a dirty way.
George and Jerry were going to get it on.
I think they probably did.
Did they? I haven't seen that episode.
It was the contest. It went really weird. They both won.
I'm done.
No, they both won by tossing each other off.
No, Simon, how dare you drag Seinfeld down to your level? I won't have it. Shame in a bun.
I am going to say that shame in a bun is a farcical.
Okay. So anyone got a good recipe for snails? This is literally the credit crunch. This is a genuine article from The Independent.
Right.
Which is basically the idea that slugs and snails are on the increase. They're nice and fat. Why not let them feast on your plants and eat them?
Fair enough.
But not fair enough, because they're not tasty.
No, they are if you cook them, right?
Yeah, but you have to put them in a bucket, wait for them all to poo. And also, the trouble with snails is, unlike chickens and cows, that they're quite cute. They got these little beadly eyes, and then
why do you have to wait for them to poo?
Because you can't eat a snail that's full of poo.
But how do you know it's pooed?
Well, if you leave it 24 hours, you're bound to poo.
Well, you don't feed it in the meantime.
Obviously.
What if they eat each other?
Snails aren't violent like that. Well, I know you left in a bucket waiting to poo with another collection of Simon Dunns will all eat each other and attack each other and go mental, but. Snails are quite sophisticated in their sort of slopey, slimy way.
Right, okay.
Hollywood's latest nuttiest detox diet. That is all about coconuts and how Oprah Winfrey thinks they're good. And that, I'm afraid to say, is a genuine article. Powdered coconut milk is said to help remove bad bacteria from the intestines. Part of a $99 detox package, it promotes to maximise cleansing with the least psychological and emotional effects. This is just so annoying. I mean, if you eat one thing, you're going to get ill. And now that's what they're doing. Polia, who took this test, it didn't go well. She was gagging on day 1, bloated on day 2, food fantasizing on day 3, and in need of a colonic on day 4. On the plus side, she lost 5 pounds and her skin looked great. I hope in time I will have forgotten the pain, she says.
Dear God.
So that leaves us between shame in a bun, which you sir have made up, and squirrels got wood.
Yeah.
Still time to change your mind, Simon?
No, I'm going to stick by my guns.
And your guns are pointed at your head.
No.
Shame in a bun is a genuine article and squirrels get wood, I made up. Out of my arse.
Boo.
There it is, in Boo. Front of you. Squirrels don't get wood. Squirrels never get woods.
We got nuts.
Yeah, they do get nuts. Especially if you put them in a bucket and make them eat each other. Waiting for them to poo.
Competitions and puzzles. Competitions
well, it's
and
not,
puzzles.
It's not really competition and puzzles, is it? It's just me reading an article in a style of competition. I'm just making you do shit as opposed to just sit on your ass and listen to me be entertaining. Boom. Right, dude, where's my car? From forgetting where you park to dealing with dodgy internet connection, the modern world is filled with technical obstacles. But with a few simple life hacks, you can overcome them all.
And what's a life hack?
He's given us tips and suggestions of how to do stuff. So, I can't remember where I parked my car. What do you do, Simon? You've gone shopping, been to the cinema, eaten your lunch. Time to go home, but wait, where did I park? 4G or 3A? Now, if you've got a remote control key fob, there are certain ways...
apparently, if you hold it up to your head, it's been proven that it registers from further away.
Okay, you knew that one. So, well done, Simon, you got it
right.
Yeah!
Wow,
yeah,
cool.
The encrypted radio signal that lets your car unlock itself travels first into your jaw cavity, which becomes an unwitting amplifier and antenna that spews a stronger signal out of your mouth.
I've actually done that. Not because I couldn't find my car, but just to see if it was true, and it is true.
Yeah, it's really quite freaky. Okay, so my Wi-Fi connection doesn't reach to the sheds. So, Simon, what do?
You attach a wire from your antenna to your window frames.
That's one of the suggestions. You attach a wire and you wrap it from the antenna thing around an electrical cable, and that will increase the field. Do you do that, or do you get foil and cut it into a little dish?
Oh, right? No, I've seen that as well. You do that. That's true. That's what you do. I've saw it on Brainiac.
Simon wins again.
See, watching bad telly does help.
Help! My credit card won't swipe at the checkout. Well, how can you get your credit card to work again, Simon?
Do you want to give me some options?
Wipe it with HP Source before you go out. It should work again. Or get a plastic bag and push it through the thing inside the plastic bag.
Right. Now, I know that if you want to repair a CD that's got a scratch on it, you can use toothpaste because it's slightly abrasive, and you rub toothpaste on it. And it will clear out scratches for you. So I'm going to go with HP Source.
Someone got it wrong.
Plastic bag.
By wrapping the card in the bag and swiping it again, the transaction often like magic goes through. So, Simon, you've already kind of answered this one, but the DVD froze just when I got to the good bit. So it's rubbing toothpaste or rubbing alcohol.
That's toothpaste.
It's not, it's alcohol.
No, it's not. It's toothpaste. I've done it.
These methods have been proved mostly fruitless, it says about toothpaste. You're better off using alcohol to clean the plastic disc. Rub it in gently in non-circular motion and use a lint-free cloth. And rinsing it with a damp cloth. Make sure it's completely dry before you reload.
That's to clean it. That's not to get rid of a scratch.
I suppose, because it says DVD froze just when we got to the good bit. So it might be, you might be right. Simon? Half right. You're not wrong. You're not right either.
All right. One last one then.
Sorry, my battery is about to die. Two of these tips are real. Two of them are false. So, one, put it in the fridge. Two, take it out of your pocket and away from your body heat. Three, switch it off and switch it on again. Four, shake it.
I've heard the fridge thing somewhere. So I'm going to say fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say shake it.
Once again, Simon, you're half right. The fridge does work, apparently, because of the chemical reaction going on in the battery. This slows it down, cools it down. So taking it out of your pocket and putting it in the fridge works. However, what doesn't work is shaking it. And what was the other one I said? Giving it to your dog or something. Don't give your batteries to your dog. It's cruel.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time to do my competition. That's a shame.
Oh, yeah. Do you know why? Because not only we run out of time, but the Times doesn't contain any excellent articles like The Independent. That's your problem. I'm doing a little dance now.
Humdongers then. And did you know The Times has a gossip column?
What does it gossip about, Simon? Is it who's going out with who?
Yeah, to an extent, but it's got two bits in it of a similar ilk this week. So choose Star Wars or Star Trek.
Star Wars.
Fans attending Star Wars A Musical Journey at the O2 Arena this week should have turned their lightsabers on all at once, apparently, because they would have seen George Lucas entering the house.
Well, did he watch his own film?
No, no, it's a musical.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So he went in to see how it was going.
Mm-hmm.
And then Star Trek, here's a good one. Star Trek geeks. I don't know why they have to say geek. Can't they just say Star Trek fans?
Yeah. It's basically just a soap opera, but with prosthetics.
With what? Prosthetics.
Prosthetics.
Prosthetics. Star Trek geeks watching The Wrath of Khan in a Texas cinema jeered when the screen went blank. But the atmosphere changed when Leonard Nimoy walked on stage and announced that the 1982 film would be replaced with a sneak screening of the new Star Trek film instead.
Oh!
That is pretty cool, but I think I'd be quite annoyed that I couldn't watch The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, but then again, Spock's telling you what to do. You do what Spock says. He's very sensible. Unless he's going through one of his 7-year, you know, periods.
Pon far. So I offer up it as humdong, and mainly because it's normally crap, but for some reason this week it's not bad.
Cool. I got Vive le Beret, which is an entire page on what is a symbol of revolution and beloved by stylish Eurostarlets. The slouchy felt headgear is selling like hot croissants in France.
Oh, God.
It's this huge article all about the beret, and they become a symbol of French glamour thanks to starlets like Bardot. Right at the end it says, to be honest, most of the armed people that I see here in Paris are wearing British pork pie hats in the style of Agnes Dien and Pete Doherty. That's what they think is really cool. So the entire thing's a... yeah.
Maybe he was just being sarcastic.
I've also got quite a cool letter. Catholic on the throne? I don't think so. I'm an atheist, but I have no difficulty in offering loyalty to an Anglican as my head of state. But I'd definitely have to think twice before swearing fealty to a monarch who divides his or her allegiance between the nation of a foreign power in the grip of a self-perpetuating right-wing clique, which has done and continues to do a tremendous damage to the wider world.
At what point is that an option, anyway?
I have no truck. Yeah, I have no truck. It's a sad thing.
That's it, just no truck.
I have no truck. It's like having no spoon. I have no truck with discrimination against Roman Catholics or other religious groups or any normal walk of life. But the role of sovereign should be reserved. Let us imagine some future Catholic monarch presented with a bill on abortion rights and some future Vincent Nicholas whispering in her ear that it is her religious duty to refuse to sign.
Since when has the Queen ever vetoed anything?
Oh yeah, since when? And also, Catholics are a hell of a lot less harmful than Prince Charles's love of homeopathy. Now it's time for your letters and emails, and mostly emails and occasional tweets.
Oh, so you're just usurping my job now?
I have. Have you actually checked the email? Have we had any dear issues yet? Considering
no.
It's only like 2 days.
No,
since...
we haven't had any dear issues this week.
Oh, why don't they love me?
You've had some stuff though, I haven't.
I've got tweeted quite a bit this week, mainly in reaction actually to the previous, to episode 44, Car2D2, which... I have to love that name. Listening to episode 44, and my cat left her beloved open window to investigate the squealy sounds emanating from my computer. Big smiley face. I tweeted her back and said, oh, are you sure that wasn't Simon's manly voice? And she says, no, it was definitely you at the very end of the episode. I'm not exactly sure what you were doing, but the cat was enthralled. Big smiley face. She's good at smiley faces. Apparently, like my dad can summon cattle by going...
Yeah.
I summon cats by doing impression of celebrity chefs and Formula One cars.
Why is that a celebrity chef?
That was Gordon Ramsay. Guess the next one.
Is this them blowing their top or something? Is it a stress joke you're making?
No. Which celebrity chef was that?
The annoying one. Blumenthal.
No. Oh. It was Gary Rhodes. Who was that?
Well, I'm tempted to say Gordon Ramsay again because he has got a Scalextric's face.
He does. You could certainly, or even just off-road on his face, really. Also, this latest tweet, Rev Matty at Izzy, ISZI underscore Lawrence, re-hangover cure, bacon sandwich. Fairly sure bacon is not homeopathic.
Yeah.
However, he links me to an article in the Telegraph, and that is all about how bacon being quite salty is very good for hangovers.
If you want to write to us, it's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
To be honest, just tweet me. I love it. It's Izzy_Lawrence. So if you just go twitter.com/Izzy_Lawrence, or you could Facebook us. I had a fan Facebook me the other day just saying, hey. I replied going straw, you know. They replied going grass, and I've replied going barley. Haven't heard anything. I think I upped the stakes too high on the whole grass front.
Or you could leave a comment on our website at www.sundaysupplement.com.
You see, Simon, I think we should do midweek papers all the time because I think they're much fairer contest, really.
I think you should let me do some talking.
I don't.
I haven't introduced a single section yet, and yeah. It's the end.
Well, you know, it's the end for you, maybe, but for me...
Well, I clearly had a bad paper, didn't I?
I didn't even get to the best garden gadgets.
Well, that's probably a good thing. There's no such thing as a good garden gadget. Try saying that again. Good garden gadget.
The good garden gadget, right, they've got a little camera that you strap to a tree and watch birds having sex.
Hang on, so, like, when people get caught in trees watching women through windows, they say they were bird watching.
Yeah.
So now you can actually bird watch and be a peeping Tom at the same time.
You can do everything, Simon.
Right.
Oh, can I do my as-if little cartoon thing?
You can do, yes.
It's excellent. It's basically just a woman talking on the telephone. And there are two women. There's one woman with curly hair, one woman with straight hair. The woman with straight hair, I'm going to have to do a different voice to.
Okay.
So I'm going to do West Country. And that does not mean I lose, okay?
Well, the competition's over. I've already declared you the winner.
Yes! My husband's gone AWOL, and it's a full moon. Oh, you thought it was only women who responded to the moon. Yes, but what if he's with one of those women? You see? Because women don't respond to the moon. Simon responds to the moon, don't you, Simon? Because you don't like it when it's full.
I don't like a full moon. It reminds me that I'm never going to be an astronaut. It's a 28-day reminder in the sky that my life is draining away.
And it is, Simon, every day.
Yeah, something like that. Apparently people used to go mad because of the moon.
I don't think that's true.
I'm not saying it is true. I'm just reporting medieval fact.
There's confirmation bias as well, because if you work in accident emergency,
mm-hmm.
They always say that it's really chaotic around the time of full moon.
And it's not.
It's confirmation bias. It's just that when it is chaotic and it is a full moon, you remember it. Whereas when it's chaotic and there isn't a full moon, you don't think about it. Yes, the natural ability for humans to see patterns.
And all the werewolves.
Pareidolia. That's what I love about Skeptics in the Pub, you see, because first Skeptics in the Pub London I went to, within about 4 minutes of being there, I heard the word pareidolia, and that's got to make you happy. There's going to be a Skeptics in the Pub Oxford, Simon.
Cool. Do tell.
It's going to be on the 12th of May, which is a Tuesday evening, at the Chequers Inn. It's on the High Street, but there's a Skeptics in the Pub Oxford Facebook group, which you should join, and Ben Goldacre, you know, the one who's just been on Newswipe, Charlie Brooker's Newswipe. Boom, how cool is that? He's also, like, got a book and is like a proper journalist of the Guardian column and everything.
Very
he's
good.
Really cool, and he's got big curly hair and I like him.
So when's that again?
That's on the 12th of May, Tuesday the 12th of May, and it's going to be amazing.
And where is it again?
It's at the Chequers Inn down Oxford High Street.
And is it free?
Yeah. We're going to have a bucket at the end if you want to be, like, you know.
We're not with nice. Snails in, surely. You're not going to give Ben Goldacre a bucket of snail poo.
Well, he needs something to eat.
So join us next week. I don't think there's a Grand Prix on, so we'll probably do a Sunday papers.
Yeah.
We never know. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everybody. Good night.
Our theme